This is Jazz Discoveries on listener-supported Jazz on 2. I'm your host, Robert Bullington. That was Complete Abandon, the title track from the Danny Tobias Quintet's live recording at the 1867 Sanctuary in Ewing, New Jersey. For this edition, Danny and pianist Steve Kramer joined me in the studio for a discussion and live performance. Well, welcome everybody. This is a really special show. We have in my studio in Hamilton, Danny Tobias and Steve Kramer, local musicians in the area that Jazz on 2 calls home, and they're active performers in the area, they're active teachers in the area. So welcome, Danny.
Welcome.
And yes. Welcome, Hi, Steve. Robert.
Thanks for having us.
So this is such a treat for our listeners to hear two guys who are actually really fierce advocates for live music, for collaboration on music in the area, and it really gives the community a connection to our musicians. I met you both through recording projects, right?
Yes, that's right, Robert. That's correct. We met on a recording of the Madeiri Brothers, and Steve and I played in that band together for a while.
Yes, occasionally I've done some jobs with the band and made one record with Joe and his brother Paul.
That's the one that didn't sell.
That's not true. My family bought a few copies.
And then I think actually, just to introduce everybody to more of your work, let's hear a little bit of that track that you guys played on together with the Madeiri Brothers. Which one is that?
It's called Blues for Sweets, and it's dedicated to Harry Sweets Edison, and I wrote it.
Okay. All right. Well, so here's a...
We begrudgingly played it.
Right. Let's hit everybody with some great tracks from the get-go in this show. So this is Blues for Sweets, and this is Danny Tobias and Steve Kramer with the Madeiri Brothers. Thank you. So let's start off. Tell us a little bit about your work in the community. Both of you gentlemen teach in local school systems. Danny, you teach in the Hamilton, New Jersey school system. And Steve, you teach in the Princeton community school system.
Yes, yep. And elementary. We both do elementary school.
Exactly. I teach at the elementary school that I went to when I was a kid. I grew up in Bromley, which is a section of Hamilton right on the Trenton border. And I went to Greenwood School. Now I teach at Greenwood School. And this is my 33rd year of teaching Little Fingers to Play.
What's that like? I mean, what's it like playing with with adult musicians in the evening, and then working with the young during the day?
It's very humbling because they don't have any idea like that I play outside of school. They just know I'm the guy who teaches them the violin, and they hear me practicing and stuff like that. But you think you're hot stuff if you play in New York or something. You could go to school the next day, means nothing. Right. You have to teach the kids how to play Mary Had a Little Lamb and make them enjoy it. That's the
right. But do you occasionally get a kid who knows something about what you're doing and is interested in your music at all? Or
well, can I say I had, yes, one day I had a kid come into class and I was surprised because I think he was in third grade. He said, "Hey, Mr. Kramer, I saw you on the internet," and I said, "What?" And apparently he had looked my name up on the computer and found one of the videos that was on there of me playing. Uh-huh. And so I was kind of, it was nice that he did that, and saw that. But all he ever really sees of me is in class teaching. And occasionally I will play the piano. And so they get a little bit of an inkling of what I can do. Not that they really understand it. But, of course, when they get older, right, some of the kids who stick with music, when you see them as 18-year-olds or 17-year-olds and they're still playing music, especially jazz, which my school district is very big on, they have a very strong jazz department in the high school, big bands. There's right. several big bands there. There's no greater joy than really seeing those kids still playing music, and it started when they were 8 years old.
I have a story. There's a guy in Spain named Joan Chamorro. I'm probably mispronouncing his name. But he does fantastic things with kids, and you can find him on the internet all the time now. But anyway, somebody hit me to the fact that this little 8-year-old trumpet player girl transcribed a YouTube video of me playing in New York on a Louis Armstrong song called Strutting with Some Barbecue, and she took my solo, 8 years old, and played it like at a concert, and wow. It was surreal. And so I wrote her a note. I wrote her parents a note, actually, saying, how happy I am that she found my solo and that she transcribed it.
Wow,
and,
that's really cool.
It was very cool. And she's still playing. She's older than Nate now. She's probably a teenager, but she's still playing in that band, and she's great.
I was going to say, and if you get one kid like that, just one kid coming through your class, and they blossom like that, and you knew that you had an influence on them, it's just got to feel like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, it's just the best.
You guys got a number that kind of connects us to that, to the idea of working with kids, working as primary school music educators?
I guess that would be You Go to My Head.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, take it away.
You want to play an intro, Steve?
Sure. Thank you.
So Danny, I notice just some of our more astute viewers are going to know it just from listening, but you elected to play a flugelhorn tonight.
I did, because I haven't played it in a long time, and I thought it would sound great with Steve on piano.
And it does.
And it's more intimate.
Right.
Dan, did I meet you when you actually first started playing?
When I first started sitting in a jazz clubs, yeah. And we met through Greenwood Avenue. Nick Strauss.
Nick Strauss, that's right.
And we used to, when Steve was already a killer, when I was like a teenager, Steve was just a couple years older, but already playing great. Wow. So he was a hero of mine. And I would go and
really? I didn't know that.
They had jazz at coffee houses and Trenton, right. Basements of churches, and you know, it was kind of exciting and scary.
Right.
And you know, go there and you learn a tune and you bring your horn and you know, go up there and sit in and
right.
You know, try to not embarrass yourself and Nick Strauss was a mutual friend, kind of took me under his wing and that's how I met Steve. And
but you started teaching pretty, you know, when you got out of college, right?
Yeah. I took 9 months or 10 months off right after college, and I worked on a cruise ship. And
Robert, we both worked on the Carnival Cruise Line.
Ah.
That was sort of a rite of passage, I think. Like, was it right out of college?
Right out of college.
Same thing here. I did like a stint on the Carnival. Dan did it. But then Dan got right into teaching, and it took me, I didn't get into the teaching profession in terms of public school till many years later. I started late in life.
Yeah, Steve had a long career with Artie Shaw's band when Artie Shaw was alive,
right.
With Artie Shaw, and you directed the Ice Capades for a bunch of years.
And in fact, you know, that this is kind of cool because you found me a track, Steve, from when you played with the Artie Shaw band.
Right, this was in Berlin.
In Berlin, yeah.
Before the wall fell? Pardon? Or after the wall fell?
It was before the wall was down.
84 would have been before the wall fell.
It was before the wall was down. And because we went through the wall. Boy, did that hurt. No, through Checkpoint Charlie. We were only there for a couple of days. We did one night. It was a jazz festival at the Philharmonic. Really beautiful building, all gold. And I was only in Berlin, like, one night, literally. And what's his name's band was there? Buddy Rich's band was there.
Wow.
A lot of players. But, yeah, I somebody sent me a cut from that concert. It's a rough cut, but, as you know, the miracle of the Internet, somebody sent me some of the songs from that concert that night.
No, but it's a really nice recording, and it gives you a sense of being there with them. Any other notables you remember from that gig?
Not so many in terms of who was playing. That Joe Lovano was there that playing that weekend in Berlin, but
and Joe Cohn was in the band with you.
Joe Cohn, who was our guitarist, who's a legendary guitar player, really played in that band. But I think more it was the people that we met on the road in places where other musicians would come out of the woodwork who played with Artie back in the day, who we played in, you know, Sioux City, Iowa, or this place over here. And there were guys living all over the country that used to come out. And of course, when we played in New York, we had great musicians show up at some of the jobs to meet Artie and to see the band. So
okay.
that was a plus.
All right, well, let's share with our listeners. So this is an unreleased recording live in concert of the Artie Shaw Band, Steve Kramer on piano, and this is Milestones.
Right, and it's actually not the big band. If you want to hear the big band, if you have another cut, if you have time, I'll give you that cut. This is actually a small offshoot. A lot of Artie liked to have a smaller band play. What was the name of that? We did the Summit Ridge Drive songs.
Yeah.
You know, I forget
yeah.
what the name of that group was. He had a name for it.
The Gramercy Five.
The Gramercy Five. So we would break off into the smaller group, and this is a cut where we played a more modal, modern type of song. Although that was from the 60s, I guess, right? Milestones.
Right.
Okay, well, this is a moment you can't buy it in a record store. Through the miracle of friendships on the internet, Steve came by it, and this is him with the Artie Shaw band in Berlin, 1984. Milestones.
Yes.
Steve, you're in the tracks that you brought me to share, you're drawing from a lot of small projects that you just put together with musicians in the region. And yeah. this is a really cool one. This one's called Cousins.
This is an original song, and the drummer, Mark Poltorek, had a buddy who was testing out some new recording equipment on his laptop. So we went to Bucks County College and recorded that here. Roy Cummings is on bass. Roy actually also played my wedding. He got
boy,
paid, though.
I'd love Roy.
Yeah, and this is a trio number.
Okay, let's hear it. This is Steve Kramer's Cousins, and this is from a limited release CD called Stardust Memories. Steve, do you want to share another track from one of your projects, your limited release projects? This one's called Karaoke, I think.
Yeah, Karaoke. This was recorded with me and a drummer that I went to college with at Berkeley, and a bass player who's a local guy named Brian Glassman. The drummer is Russ DeBona. And we just wanted to go into the studio. So we just, they had a studio in Paramus, New Jersey. They said, let's go in there. We all brought different songs. We really didn't rehearse. We just sat down and talked a couple and just basically one time through the songs and recorded. And this song, Karaoke, is one of them that we did.
Okay, let's hear it. each of you guys, give me a role model, somebody in the business who really inspired you and who kind of shaped who you are as a musician.
Well, for me, it was two guys. It was Tony DiNicola, who taught at Trenton State College, where I went, and he was the jazz band instructor, and I played in the jazz band in school and stuff. And then a few years later, I got to play with him in his band, and we worked together until he passed away, 10 years ago or maybe more now. But he was a guy who played with the greats and taught school, even though it was college, but he was very humble, down to earth, great player, and like a very wise man.
and when all of our loved ones went there, it was Trenton State. Of course,
exactly,
now it's the College of New Jersey. And I recognize that name because when you came into the studio with the Madiri Brothers Septet, one of the tracks they recorded was your composition, dedicated to Tony D.
Right.
And it's actually Trenton's Tony D.
That's right.
So let's listen to that now. This is from the Madiri Brothers album Simply Splendid, and Danny Tobias on trumpet with Trenton's Tony D. Thank you. Okay, Steve, who inspires you? Who shapes who you are?
Well, it's, you know, Danny mentioned Tony DiNicola. Of course, Tony DiNicola was one of the great big band drummers. He played with Harry James. He had impeccable time. And whenever I would play with him in a trio setting, he really was able to keep me in check in terms of playing without speeding up too much, which I am wont to do. So I could really, he could rein me in. I love Tony. And I knew about Tony when I was a kid because I used to be a busboy at a local Trenton restaurant. And whenever Tony would come in after, at some point, all the waitresses would say, "You know who that is back there? That's Tony DiNicola. He used to play for Harry James." Of course, I was 14 years old. I had no idea who Harry James was. But I always knew he was like a special kind of guy. And of course, through my family business back in the day, we had a bakery business. Late at night on Saturday nights, a lot of musicians would come into the bagel store to get bagels after their gig. So I used to see a lot of musicians. But I would have to say right from the start, other than the first piano teacher I had, Patty DeCesar, Dick Breitenbaugh was a local piano player who played my parents' wedding. And I was always told that someday they were going to get him to teach me the piano. So Dick was the first person to introduce me to jazz. The first Michel Legrand song I played was through Tony, listening to Rhapsody in Blue, playing Burt Bacharach songs. Dick ended up playing my bar mitzvah with a jazz band. And then he ended up playing my wedding. So with Tony DiNicola.
How about that?
What I remember the most about that great night, the wedding, besides getting married, was they didn't charge me. Tony and Dick did not want any money.
Well, you'll probably still get invoiced. It's only been
And that's because I think because they knew the family so well, and my grandparents used to always go here. Those guys play all the time. They were always in the clubs listening to the jazz bands. So Dick Breitenbaugh, of course, in high school, it was a couple of guys named Tom Passarella, who Danny knows very well, and Tom Grice. Those guys really treated us, these young players that could, you know, hardly get around our instruments that well. They just treated us with a lot of respect, and they just their influence was so it mattered so much to me as a young person that I think it influences the way I teach kids and treat kids today. So I really owe a lot to those guys.
And Tom Pass is another one of those guys who is a great player, who taught school, and he's always eager to help you, and always willing to play. And he's a fantastic role model.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of, and also someone else from the area was a guy named Richie Cole.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Because Richie Cole was from Ewing Township, and whenever he would play in the local jazz club here, Lanzi's it was called, he always welcomed young musicians into the club to sit in.
Jazzorama.
Jazzorama, yeah. Trenton style.
And Richie Cole's movement was Alto Madness,
Alto Madness, yeah.
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 And so those guys like Richie, I didn't take lessons from Richie, but he knew that we played, and when we went to the clubs, he'd let us sit in. And back to Tom Passarella, like Danny said, you know, when I got off the road and moved back home, I was a self-employed musician, and Tom Passarella, you know, reached out to me and said, "Hey, I have some work for you." And he kept me working on one job that lasted 10 years. It was a musical, it was a thing that went on in the Trenton Public Schools. I was the accompanist and then the musical director, and he encouraged me actually to get into teaching, and I wasn't ready at the time. It took me 10 years being back home before I finally got... I got a phone call from another musician who hooked me up into the Princeton school system.
So what are you guys inspired to share now? What do you like to dedicate to these guys?
Well, I guess it'd have to be what? This Can't Be Love? No. you call it Dan, Cheek to Cheek, In the Wee Small Hours of the Morning?
Let's play... Well, it's kind of inappropriate, but let's play Cherokee.
Okay.
Because why not?
Why not?
Right on it.
This is Jazz Discoveries on listener-supported Jazz on 2. I'm your host, Robert Bullington.